In the name of Jesus, amen. My dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the gospel reading this morning, there were two big parades that day near the gates of the city of Nain. A parade of death met the parade of life. The parade of life was led by Jesus as he walked into the city. The master who had taught both by his marvelous life-giving words and by his amazing life-sustaining deeds. He led a large throng along the way. His disciples walked with him, for that's what disciples do. And he was also accompanied by a great crowd of people. And at the gate of that city, there was joy and life and excitement in the royal procession, for Jesus had just the day before healed a centurion's servant. And prior to that, a leper had been cleansed at Jesus' words. A paralytic rose up and walked, having been both healed and forgiven by the Son of God. Jesus had demonstrated the power and authority of his own divine nature when he cast out demons on one occasion and helped bring in a full net of fish on another. Truly, this Jesus was the center of attention in the parade of life. But there was another parade that day, and it was also a very large procession. It was the parade of death. A funeral bier was being carried out by others, and this parade of death wound through the streets of the city, was heading for the gate to the graveyard of the world outside. And on this bier laid the body of a young boy, alive just hours ago. And his mother followed the procession of this parade of death. She's accompanying the casket of her only son. The younger the death, the bigger the crowd, the more grief and weeping there is. No parent expects to bury their own child. Grief is compounded at this funeral in Nain because the mother is also a widow. First, her husband, and now her only son. And that meant not only the grief of death, but also the uncertainty of the future. This mother grieving the death of her only son knows the way of sorrow all too well, for she has walked in the parade of death before. This woman knows the bitter tears of grief, for at a time prior to this, she was part of another parade as she accompanied the dead body of her husband out through those same gates to his burial. Now enters Jesus. He had just healed the centurion's servant with a word from a distance. But too late to save this young man from death, he shows up at the funeral. There's a collision of crowds at the city gate. Jesus and a great crowd that followed him meet a great crowd of mourners carrying the body of the widow's son. Hope meets grief. Joy meets sorrow. A triumphal crowd meets a funeral procession. Jesus meets the grieving widow. The two parades meet at the gate of that city. And what in the world happens when the parade of life meets the parade of death? Would it be Jesus stepping aside, or the grieving woman who lost both husband and her only son giving way? Jesus sees the grieving widow broken by the death of her son. He singles her out from the crowd with his gaze, and she is the only one he's looking for. And our Lord Jesus has compassion on her. He looks on our grief and loss with the compassionate heart of one who has come for this very moment to conquer death. And he speaks to her. His words are unlike any words of sympathy she will hear. They're not mere words, but they are the words of him who is the word through whom all things were created. They are the very words of God. "Do not weep," Jesus says to her compassionately. If anyone else says, "Do not weep," it means little or nothing to us. You may safely ignore it, but when the Lord says, "Do not weep," his words do as they say, for he wipes every tear from her eyes with his words. Jesus has more to say, not to the woman, but to her son. And he places his hand on the bier, and the pallbearers come to a halt. He takes over the funeral, and he makes it his own now. He's in charge, and he speaks to the dead man. His words that would not only wipe away the tears of that woman, but they would also pierce the death of this young man and his grave. Jesus says, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And he does. He sits up on his funeral bier and he starts speaking. Jesus spoke to the dead man and raised him up with his words. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. "Woman, behold your son." Her weeping turned into joy, her tears to laughter. This man whom she did not know, who met her at the city gate and interrupted her son's funeral, didn't wait to ask someone to have him do anything. Instead, Jesus looked upon her with compassion, and he dried her tears with his compassionate words. Jesus had the words she needed. Two parades meet at the gates of Nain, one processing in and the other on the way out. And one must give way to the other. Jesus came into this world because every human being, every one of us, either was or still is in this parade of death. Each one of us, you and I, are destined to take our respective turns at being carried in a coffin to a grave and to eternal judgment. For that is what each one of us deserves, and that is where each of us is heading. But thanks be to God that he does not desire the death of anyone. So our Lord has compassion, and he sends his only Son that we might have life and might have it abundantly. For life came into this world and was born in Bethlehem. God sent his only Son to be our Redeemer, our Savior. Jesus lived for us. He taught for us. He prayed for us. He suffered for us on that cross in our place. Our own Lord Jesus was led in a bloody parade of death as he staggered and trudged through the streets of Jerusalem in order to ascend the place of the skull. And there, life met death on the cross of Calvary when Jesus was crucified for the sins of the world, for your sins and my sins. So God the Father knows exactly what it's like to have an only son die. Death appeared to have won when Jesus died and his lifeless body was taken down from the tree of death and placed into an empty tomb. But appearances are deceiving, aren't they? For just a few hours later, the earth shook. The grave was opened. Our Lord Jesus arose that Easter morning.
having won victory over death and the grave, his death, my death, your death. On the cross, the one who raised the dead died to conquer death. What he did for the widow's son that day in Nain, he did for all on the cross. In him, death has lost its sting. In him, the grave has surrendered the victory. The raising of the widow's son is a little preview of what is to come on that last day when Christ will raise the dead by his word and by his spirit, giving his children, believers in him, eternal life, just as he promised. The parade of death was stopped that day, for there was absolutely no more reason for it to continue. The sun is risen, risen indeed. Death was defeated and stopped dead in its tracks. No doubt there were many other funeral processions that day in Israel, and Jesus was at none of them, as he was there at the city gate of Nain for this grieving widow. This was a sign for her and for each of you that Jesus' words do what they say. They healed a centurion's servant from a distance. They wiped the tears of a grieving widow. His words raised a dead man from his coffin and reunited him with his mother. What a day that was. You will attend many funerals in your life. The older you get, the more funerals you attend. And as a pastor, funerals are a part of the calling. But that doesn't make it any easier. It's never easy to bury your family, church family or otherwise. You and I will go to many funerals, our parents, relatives, our friends, maybe even one of our own children. You and I will weep, too, over what sin and death have done, over the wreckage of our humanity, over all the loss that death brings. My friends, Jesus has compassion on widows, orphans, on the poor, on the downtrodden, on the lonely and hurting, on the uncertain ones, on pastors, and on you. He has compassion on you, and he will not let the grave have you. Death will not have the last word. Do not weep, Jesus says to you out of his compassionate heart. I am the resurrection and the life, he says. Whoever believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die forever. We must all die. You must die. But not eternally. Not forever. And baptized into Jesus, your death has been claimed by another. You've been buried with Jesus in his death, and your life is now hidden in Christ, who will raise you on the last day. This morning, he gives you the tokens of his death and life, his own body and blood, which he offered on the cross to save you. Take, eat, and drink, he says to you. Whoever eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood has life in him, my life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Our Lord's body and blood, which he gives with his words, have gone through death and the grave for you. They are death-defying, the medicine of immortality, the anti-serum to the sting of death. And he gives these gifts to you in his supper that you may know with all certainty and believe without doubt that he will raise you as surely as he raised the widow's son. Jesus' words do what they say. He is the Lord. He is the Lord with His words, and He forgives you with His words all of your sin. With His words, He gives you life. With His words, He sustains you. With His words, He will raise you up on the last day and wipe away every tear from your eyes. Weeping may remain for the night. And there's much reason to weep in this world filled with sin and death. But rejoicing comes in the morning, the new day, the resurrection day. What Jesus did for the widow at Nain and her son, He does for you in your baptism, in His supper, with His words. Hear Him. Receive Him. Believe Him. He has the words, and you have His life. He has raised you up from your sin and death, and now He has freed you to live. In the name of Jesus, amen.